Welcome to the Signals Defense Podcast, a podcast about everything RF and building security. In our podcast, we will cover topics like radio frequency mitigation, building security, and safety and protecting sensitive and classified information. Now here's your host, Eric Kuczynski.
I'm Eric Kuczynski, president of Signals Defense. Whenever the subject of my job comes up, I tend to hear a lot of crazy ideas. The range of theories I've heard on radio frequency, or RF, is hard to encapsulate in just a blog, but suffice it to say that much of what I hear is inaccurate. This made me think that we should have at least one installment of our blog deal with the myths that we hear most regularly. So here's our top five myths on RF shielding for a building. One, RF shielding for everyday commercial construction is too expensive to consider for my client. Well, if building shielding is considered from the very earliest stages of design, then options for every budget can be included. Every building and environment is different, and therefore RF shielding professionals should be included in the design process. When given sufficient time and space to perform detailed evaluations, the professionals can determine the best course of action to achieve the desired outcomes using the most cost-effective methods at our disposal. The recipe for ballooning costs is to not consider RF shielding in the design phase, but to wait until a security breach has occurred, then contacting someone to fix the problems that are now endemic to the building is a recipe for disaster. Two, RF shielding is going to stop my tenants' or occupants' cell phones from working. While RF building shielding may reduce signal strength, basic shielding methods are not designed to completely shut down cell phone service. While techniques to completely secure buildings do exist, many municipalities are employing distribution antenna systems, or DAS, in-building wireless systems, IBW, networks with some RF shielding incorporated. Some are even enforcing such techniques via building codes. DAS and IBW networks simply replicate internal networks in buildings that use RF shielding to allow for clear communications without interference or security risks from the outside. In short, unless you work in a high security government facility, there is really no reason that people in your building will not be able to use their cell phones. In fact, if you plan correctly, they might enjoy better performance while inside the building than when they're outside. Three, corporate or state-sponsored espionage really doesn't occur. Although breaches such as the recent Equifax hack are infrequently reported, most of the networks on which we depend are constantly under attack. Just ask the FBI how serious of an issue this is. The Cyber Division was created in 2002 and now is the lead federal agency for investigating cyber attacks of any sort. One quote from their website as to the damage done by illegal computer and network intrusions is that, quote, billions of dollars are lost every year repairing systems hit by such attacks, end quote. In short, the FBI has taken this threat seriously, so shouldn't you? Four, I have encryption and firewalls and a robust IT department, so I don't need another layer of security. Well, this one's easy. Anyone who can see your signals can find a way to get in and hack them. Five, there is only one way to achieve a proper RF shielded environment. This is absolutely not the case. Different rooms with different functions require vastly different RF shielding techniques. What's required for a secure data center in an urban environment is not the same for a rural office building, even if the data each hold is equally sensitive. Carefully conducted interviews with clients, site assessments, and early intervention are the key to finding the best, most cost-efficient solutions for RF shielding. This is Eric Kuczynski. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you'll tune in again next time.
For more information, visit our website at www.signalsdefense.com or subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or YouTube.